Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebre, and Marielle Smith. Join us as we dive beyond the surface of our writing practice. Hi, Marielle.
Hey, Lou.
We've settled on a subject matter, but not a title yet, haven't we?
Yeah, but they'll come.
Yeah. So we're talking about what if you struggle with that one thing that you have a reputation for being good at or for enjoying? What happens?
I wish I had the answer, but I'm in the middle of that struggle. So
I was thinking about what is the issue in admitting that you struggle with something like that. Is it something about what other people think or how other people see you? Or is it more about how you see yourself?
Well, I think both, probably, right? It's both. It's the whole thing about having a reputation for being good at something or being known to enjoy a particular aspect of the writing process means that other people know. So you have been vocal about it, or other people just know because they worked with you or whatever, and they have been vocal about it.
See, I've realized that I'm quite reluctant to say that I'm good at things, and I think this might be the reason why.
So that is not because you don't think you're quite good at certain things, but just because you want to protect yourself.
It's to avoid this sort of situation. I'm not the same when I talk about enjoying something.
Yeah, so for me, like, so to just so that, because we had a little bit of this discussion, so no one listening know what we're talking about. I'm struggling, like, I've talked about my love for plotting quite a bit. The being good at it part is simply when I was in the process of co-writing, it was that we realized that I was better at that. Right. So I think that's where the whole, oh, she's really good at that came from.
Yeah.
But it is something that I find very enjoyable. And I'm really struggling right now. I have ideas in my head. My head's been really full with two series, and I am struggling to sit down and jot too many ideas down. I have written some of them down, but for some, I have this fear that I'm going to find out that I'm not great at plotting or storytelling at all.
So it's something about the pressure that you're putting on yourself.
Yes. Yes, and I won't tell anyone, it's not important at this stage.
Mm.
But for some reason, it's really important to me to nail this at the first attempt, which is, of course, there's a ridiculous amount of pressure.
Yeah. For no reason, really.
Well, the only reason is because I have this story now.
Yeah.
That this is supposed to be something that I like doing and I'm pretty good at. But I've been wondering whether that is also exactly why it's harder for me to do it now.
So why do we put ourselves in these situations? Why do we tell ourselves these stories?
Well, the interesting thing is that it doesn't seem very harmful, does it? Because it's not a limiting belief story.
No.
Right, it's telling yourself, oh, look, this is something I actually can do, and this is something that I really enjoy doing, so that is great. So it can be very motivating.
It's positive, isn't it? It's a very positive story to tell yourself.
Yeah, so for me, in my head, I go like, so how did this really positive thing became something that's tripping me up? And I'm wondering whether it is tripping me up because It's almost, I've been wondering about, and this is what I wanted to ask you today. I've been wondering whether, you know, they're all things, right? We do all kinds of things in life, right? Writing is one of them. And I'm sure that we have imposter syndrome in multiple aspects of our lives. But I'm wondering whether when there's more at stake, and I think when you've told yourself and when others seem to know and think that you are good at something, that's kind of, that has risen the stakes a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wondering whether that is when it hits harder, when it strikes harder, imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Because what if you cannot even do, but what if that's like the thing I like doing or I'm good at doing, and I'm learning now with these new ideas that I'm actually not that good at them. What does that say about my writing in general? That's like where my brain goes.
Yeah. You've got extra pressure as well, haven't you?
Do I?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because of your professionalism.
Oh yes, yeah, it's yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's very much like I coach people and I do developmental editing. And here I am struggling to plot two series and the individual novels within the series. And that makes me go, like, who, like that. So that's exactly the imposter syndrome as well. Like, okay, so who am I to be doing this thing if I can't even simply sit down, you know, make a nice cup of tea or in this weather, glass of ice water, and just, you know, write it down and be done with it. And wow, I have an amazing outline. I think for me in my head, it became, okay, so I enjoy this and I'm supposedly better at this than at some of the other aspects of writing. So why is it not an enjoyable experience? I can just, you know, sit on the couch, have my notebook, have my cup of tea, maybe a nice playlist, and just do this in like a complete Zen mode. So I think just because it feels like a little bit of a struggle, this is where that imposter syndrome is kicking in and telling me, if you feel a bit of struggle here, maybe that means you're not as good as it as you think you are, or as other people have told you you are. Maybe this is not something you enjoy. Maybe you've been telling yourself lies about your whole writing career.
Yeah.
And what you think you know.
And then it spirals.
Oh, yes, it has spiraled, yeah. And it's silly. I'm thinking that now it's silly, actually, because no matter how much I think, well, maybe not all of us, because some people do write for the wrong reasons. But I think most people do writing because they enjoy it, but that doesn't mean it's not a struggle.
Mm.
The struggle is part, like no novel was ever written without some blood, sweat and tears.
Yeah.
I really don't believe that.
Yeah, it never goes to plan. It isn't. I had that story for a long time where I believed that all I needed to do was master the whole process and to work out an easy way of plotting and then writing and then editing, and it would be a smooth process once I could work it out. But of course, it's a messy business writing a novel, isn't it? It's your ideas don't come in a linear fashion, and
no.
even when you plot it, you don't stick to the plan because your characters go off on one or aren't quite who you thought they were, or
yeah, yeah,
don't fall in love with the person that you want to fall in love with.
Yeah, for good reasons usually too.
Yes, I had a real struggle with that in the last series. And I managed to make it work by being unconventional, but it was touch and go. So yes, you're right. It's and that makes it easy for us to question things.
Yeah, but you, I think you really hit on the nail, this idea that we have this image that maybe one day it'll be easy. And as long as it's not easy, it means we're doing something wrong or we're not good at what we're doing.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm really wondering whether that is, because the truth is, of course, is that I've just uprooted myself and I moved and I got 3 kittens and everything. So I literally did not have the brain space. I haven't even tried, you know, sitting down with a cup of tea and a notebook and just letting it flow. Right? I have not even tried that yet.
Yeah. And that should be the fun part for you.
Yeah, and I think that is it, because this fear hit me so hard. It's almost as if I don't even want to get to that point, because what if I'm going to prove to myself that I can't do this and these ideas that I have suck, and after I finish the series I'm working on now, I'm never going to have another good idea.
Yeah. And that's always our fear, isn't it? Well, no, it's one of our fears.
Well, actually, I usually don't have that fear. But this time around, because I have ideas like all the time, it's really tiring actually. But this time around, and it took me ages before I could separate good ideas from just things that I was able to sort of like have fly past me. Right. But for some reason this time around, I'm like, it feels like a test.
It's probably a test you're putting yourself through.
What is that? Isn't everything.
And I don't know. I think there's part of our brains that like to think up ways of challenging us that we would never have seen coming.
Yeah, but I think it's also, because the thing is, of course, like when fears like this come up, I think the thing is that you can either listen to the fear or you can decide to very much in an Elizabeth Gilbert way, acknowledge the fear, you know, put it in the back of the car, have an eye on it in the rearview mirror and just say, that's great, but I'm driving. So you can talk and you can, and maybe you have some good ideas, right? And I'll listen to you occasionally, but you don't, you're not here to take over the wheel. I'm still going to do my thing. Because you cannot, the fear is part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can outrun that, or nor do I think you should. Because I also sometimes wonder whether the fact that the fear exists, does that mean it's worth something?
Yeah. It's definitely worth something.
Because if you don't care, if you don't feel fear at all, what does that mean about what you're doing?
Yeah.
So now it's really funny because we've only just been talking for a couple of minutes. And it's funny how I really felt like this struggle was pulling the rug from underneath me. And now I'm, and already now I'm like, no, it's just fear trying to stop me from doing something. Because, you know, on the one hand, it is the fear, what if I fail, right? But what if I succeed? And of course, your fear doesn't want you to succeed. Because if you succeed, you're going to do something else that might be even more terrifying for your ego or whatever part of you that trying to keep you as tiny as possible.
It's only through talking about it, though, that you can properly identify what's going off.
Yes, because if you stay in your head, like you said, it's going to spiral.
And it's easy to avoid.
Yes. Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I've always written every day until recently. And that's something that I've kind of inadvertently set myself up for. But now I'm not writing every day. It's hard to get back into it.
So what you were good at
was
being this disciplined.
Yeah.
So that's the story around you.
Yeah.
You're the person who writes every day.
So I need to start writing, regardless of whether it's every day or not.
Do you think that is what happens when we have those stories in our head, that if we no longer fit that particular shape that we've created, then it's easier to walk away entirely?
Yeah, to let it go.
Like, if I'm not that, right, instead of saying, okay, so what if I don't write every day? I mean, 4 days a week is still better than most people are doing, so, and it's better than not writing at all. You don't compare yourself to other people. So how is it that we turn to the opposite? Like, for me, I'm not sitting down. Instead of telling myself, okay, so maybe this is going to be hard. Maybe I'm going to be a messy plotter with these two projects instead of a nice bullet point and know exactly where I'm going plotter. Instead of trying to accept that, I go to, well, let's just try to not think about these projects and maybe not write them at all. And for you, it's like, if I can't write every day, let's just move away.
It's permission. I've already destroyed the story. So that is permission to not do anything.
But why do we do that to ourselves? Because that's not what makes us happy.
I don't know. I mean, I think telling ourselves a story definitely has a purpose sometimes, and can be really positive, can't it, if it's a positive story. But I'd never realised there was a downside to it until we started talking.
Yes, I'm really curious where that downside is coming from. Like, why it's almost like it becomes also a vulnerability.
We managed to turn it from a positive into a vulnerability. I suppose it's if you're aware of it, you can change the story. You can't avoid the story, can you?
No, but when you say change, do you mean like tweak it?
Yes. So I mean enhance it or add to it. But so perhaps it's the second book. So for you, it's that you love plotting. This is the bit that you're good at. And then you've just had a blip, and actually you can change that story to say, that's all true, but sometimes you need to get messy.
Yeah.
Cover yourself in mud. That's true most of the time, but sometimes a story needs something else from you.
And most importantly, that doesn't mean that when I've waded through the mud, I don't have a really great solid outline.
It's just a different way of doing it.
Yeah. Which could also be very project dependent, I think.
And it increases your skills because it's giving you another way of doing something, which always increases your skills rather than there being one way to go ahead.
Yeah. So it's potentially a really good thing.
Yeah. And like for me, maybe instead of this, I always write every day and that's how I keep my motivation. Maybe it's okay to have a break when something happens and my story or my addition to the story is, but I can get back into it.
Yeah, you can always get back into it when you're ready. It's funny, right, how so when we create positive stories about ourselves, and this is of course something that we do, like when we talk about limiting beliefs and reframing those. So it's good to keep in mind Like, how could these new, more positive stories about yourself, or these broader, right, more flexible stories about yourself, how could they, like, where is the loophole? Or where is the, maybe not the loophole, but where is the...
danger?
Yeah, where's sort of the pain? Where will it hurt? Because I think that your ego, your fear, I think it will search for that.
Yeah.
And as soon as you have one little, like you said, blip, just one little hiccup, it finds that spot, that entry point.
It's powerful. It's so powerful, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I think it's, and that's what made me so curious, is that, and of course, like, I mean, I think we know this is true, right? It's why people, certain people, when they're in love, they don't give all they have, because they think, if I don't give my entire heart when this ends, and, you know, there will be the implication that it might end, otherwise you don't protect yourself. So when it ends, it doesn't hurt so bad.
Yeah.
But of course, the idea is that, or the reality of it is that when you don't give it your all, then when it does, that means that, you know, in the period before it ends, if it ends, you're not entirely there, so you're not entirely enjoying it.
Yeah.
You're not receiving, and you're not giving as much as you could.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's more likely that things won't work out because you're not in 100%.
Yeah. So maybe it's not about not telling ourselves positive stories, or highlighting the things that we enjoy doing or are good at, because I do think that can be motivation. I do think we need to remind ourselves about everything that we've got going for us. But maybe we need to be wary when those stories start sounding like they're set in stone.
Yeah, because that's not life, is it?
No, because life, like, it's like the only constant is change, right?
Yeah. In whatever aspect of life.
Yeah, so maybe the danger is not occasionally reflecting on whether the story still fits you.
It's so hard to do, though.
Yes. Yes, dude, it's very hard. But what is the alternative?
Well, first of all, you've got to recognise it, haven't you? And then you've got to examine what's actually going on, and then you've got to change your story.
Yeah, already now I'm thinking. So, like, you're right, brother. One of the things I have in my head, one of my fears, is that, but I will one day have a client who is like, why am I giving my novel to you to edit, but you only have this many fiction novels out?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't have lots and lots of fiction novels out.
That too, but also...
And a lot of editors don't have any fiction novels out.
That's my point. There are a lot of professional editors who are not writers at all. So I need, in my head, I need to disconnect the craft from knowing what a good story is. Because you can know what a good story is and not be able to do the craft.
I think the other thing is, after what we've been talking about today, it's another way of imposter syndrome getting you, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because in my head I go like, who am I editing other people's novels? Would I struggle to plot my own? Or to finish them quickly, right? Because as you know, I'm a really slow writer. So I really need to take my time because I want to make sure that I say, and that's just me as well, right? Like, it takes me a long time to understand what I'm trying to say. So I take a lot of drafts.
Yeah.
Which I'm personally fine with. But I have this fear that other people are like, wait, if you're so great at storytelling, or if you know storytelling so well, if you understand story so well, why does it take you forever
Because it's completely different with your own stories.
Because you don't know, but don't always know.
Yeah. You don't have that objectivity, do you, with your own story?
No, it's the same reason that when I translate something, I always hire a native speaker for a quality check.
Mm.
Because as soon as I've translated something, it becomes my own text and I can't see it properly anymore.
And it's
so I can't edit something that I've translated myself.
And it's why writers need editors.
Yes, yeah. But it's good because the thing, I wasn't sitting down because I didn't want to talk about this at all. It is true, like I didn't want to bring this up because I was hoping, of course, that it will all go away.
Mm.
And that suddenly I would, like one day I would wake up and I just write the perfect outline. And I could tell myself, see. But of course, the fear is already in the way. I don't think you get to return to that until you actually talk about it and admit it.
And examine it and bring it out into the light.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, you first have to admit it to yourself and then you have to bring it to the light, which for me is talking about it to you.
Yeah.
And only that. And the funny thing is, as soon as we start doing that, as soon as I've sort of accepted it and shoved away my embarrassment at it and actually talked to you about it, it's becoming so much clearer. And I see now better than I did the different kind of, because there's layers to it as well. But it's much clearer to me now.
So what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about your writing?
Well, I could just start with a very small session today.
Because you don't really do that, right? Like you write every day, but you don't have a set amount of time.
No, I don't, no.
So what does that mean? Is it sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes an hour? Like what does that look like?
Or sometimes longer. Yeah. It means sitting down and actually moving things forward every day. That's what works for me. So it's connecting with the story.
Yeah.
It's that bit that's important. That's the important bit for me to motivate me to, you know, finish something.
Yeah, I get that. Because when I was moving, I didn't write. And it was, I did do it, right? But I did have to read back. And like, okay, where was I? Like, what changes did I make? Where was I going again? Because I'm nearing the end of the draft I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
So I really had, and I was in my pivotal scene. So it took me ages to work on that. And I stopped in the middle to move. So that was a bit like, okay, so what did I cut? And what story thread is still here? And of course, if you look at it, like because I don't write in the weekends, but Friday to Monday is fine for me.
See, for me, it's getting in the head of the characters and everything again, as well as remembering what's gone on before.
Yeah. So, okay, so are you going to sit down behind the computer every day again, even if it's for like a minute?
Yes, I'm going to. I mean, the other problem I've got is that I'm on my least favourite bit, which is plotting, but I'm going to... Yeah, reconnect with the story. And then the momentum of that should take me forward.
What will I do? In the next 2 weeks, I will start the outline of one of the novels.
You could just have a play.
Not just stuff in my head, but actually start writing down the snippets I have in my head, see where they fit.
Yeah.
And see the timeline that I want. And then just see what comes to me.
Yeah.
And just a lot is happening in my head. There's 100% chance. Maybe not 100%. But there is a big chance that the story is already there in my head because I didn't take the time to sit down.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not there because I don't have it on the paper yet. But there's a chance that if I actually do sit down, most of it will be there. And then it's just filling in the blanks.
Yeah. You see, for me, I write, the last series was a trilogy and this one is as well. But I've written the first book. But I know that the whole trilogy is in my head, except when I start to doubt myself.
and then
you think, what if I can't make this story work? That would be an absolute disaster because you've already put out, well, we haven't yet, but you've already put out book one. You've got to...
Yeah, it's already finished.
Yeah.
But that's imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah, it is completely.
You have to somehow find a way to tell yourself, okay, well, even if that's true, right, worst case scenario, that voice I'm hearing in my head is 100% right about what a sucky author I am.
Mm.
And then while feeling that, you still have to tell yourself, but I'm still going to do this thing just to see if maybe it's not true.
Yeah.
And the thing is, again, like, what is the other option? Like, for me, it's like I struggle now with these novels, but I know they've both been, or these series, they've both been pestering me for a long time. So I know they're not going to leave me alone.
Mm.
So it's a question of, do I want them in my head and disrupt my other things? Because they pop up, like, in unexpected moments. So do I just want to come into it and just write it down so it's out of my head and on the page? And for you, it's like, you will come back to writing anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why not actually commit to it right in the moment?
Yeah, and just enjoy it.
Try to enjoy it.
Mm.
Just try to enjoy it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would love to hear in 2 weeks whether you've gone back to actually enjoying.
Okay.
And I will have something. I'm not going to send it to you because it's not your genre, but I will have something on paper by the next time we talk.
Okay. We'll feedback on how that's gone.
Fingers crossed.
No pressure. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.